Welcome to the Hale Varsity Tailgate at the Rail Yard. Every home football Friday. Now here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Great to have you in. We are indoors today at Long Wells. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine.
That was a good decision.
By the Nebraska Lottery. And that's about right. Executive decision to put us inside.
I mean, we pride ourselves on being tough here in Nebraska, but is it really tough if you're just sitting and talking for 3 hours? That's not really tough. That's more stupid. So it's good that we came inside.
Let the real men play outdoors
Saturday
afternoons. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. We don't need to be like a fast and physical radio show. There's no need for that whatsoever.
There's no speed here whatsoever.
Mark still has his stocking hat on and we're inside.
Well, because I'm hip.
Oh,
you see, that's
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
That's a very fashionable thing.
I'm not.
He says hip. I bet money he didn't comb his hair today.
That's actually more it.
Yeah. That's Mark Kranak. That is Mike Babcock. I'm Chris Schmidt. Great to have you in the final Hale Varsity Tailgate of 2016. Again, we are in Long Wells. The year's flown by.
Yeah,
we invite you down, and when we say final, that means amazing prizes, so many goodies. We have Nebraska football tickets against Maryland. We have Nebraska basketball tickets. Rick Heyman of Sauter Heyman just rolled by. He also went with the Mark Kranak stocking hat look.
Yeah.
And your chance
everyone's doing
today
it.
To win a stunning pair of Oris watches, his and her watches, valued at $3,500. I will tweet out a picture of an Oris watch. And
you are
love
all
it.
About the Oris watch.
Oh, they're
you
awesome.
Always have been.
They're incredible. But football to talk, it's an amazing day tomorrow for 30 seniors of 2016.
That's a lot of guys.
That's and a lot of those guys, 18 of the 30 walk-ons.
Yep.
That 10 of the 18 earned scholarships. Coming up in the program, we'll be able to get caught up with All-American quarterback, and he won a Big 8 title. He was incredible, one of the top quarterbacks in Nebraska football history. Steve Taylor is here. And he'll join us on Hale Varsity Radio, one of the best safeties at Nebraska, won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos.
And could have been an all-conference quarterback.
Could have been an amazing quarterback, and I think was an amazing quarterback,
yep.
Played safety. Tony Veland is here. So we invite you down. We are not outdoors. Usually the Hale Varsity tailgate's under the cube. Instead, we are in the warm confines of Longwell. So we invite you here till 6 o'clock. Kidwell has brought free wings.
Yeah, and I believe they are smoked wings.
Smoked wings.
So that's different than just, you can't just say wings. When they're smoked, you need to add that detail.
Thank you for correcting
me. You're welcome,
me.
But it's important.
That's important.
Yeah.
Also, Plowshare has brought beer samples for you. Great folks at Plowshare.
Yep.
So
three different types of beer.
There's the sales pitch for you. And Longwells has 76 on tap for you. So come on down to Hale Varsity Tailgate here till 6 o'clock. Also, on the program, you have the opportunity to hear from Klausburn. Klausburn will be joining us in about an hour and 15 minutes. That will no doubt be interesting. All right, Mike. All right, Mark. Let's get into this senior class. So let's go around this square table, not round table. And what word or words comes to your mind? That's something I focused on this week was this senior class, how impressive they've been, how important they've been. And I think they are similar to the class in 92 that kind of helped pay things forward for 93 to happen. I think they're similar to the class in 83. As great as they were, they were part of the class that transitioned to an option offense in 1980. From a passing style, and Mike, you can obviously correct me there, but I think this class is a class that schematically had to make a shift, offensively had to make a shift, but more importantly, they had to embrace the change of leadership. And after a tough last year, they did it this year at 8-2 with a chance to be 9-1. Sounds a lot better than even much of what we projected. Yeah, you say 8-4, 9-3, but this team's just done it. And they've done it in a way to make it impressive in the fourth quarter. And I think this team, the word I'm going to use is courage. And above all, the way they've been able to deal with and be human about their teammate, a guy they love, in Sam Fultz. I mean, that's what I think of this team. I think this team has tremendous courage. I think this senior class has had tremendous courage.
I think of maturity and dedication. Maturity because of just the sheer number of things these guys had to go through, and for the most part, how they've handled it. You know, I mean, we heard last year quite a bit about some of the guys that had already left during the transition with Riley. They made it difficult. You know, it wasn't that they didn't necessarily buy in. There were some locker room problems, people talking to old coaches, and, you know, which is par for the course. You can expect that sort of thing to happen. But you get the sense from this group that they were a little bit more on board, and they definitely were this year. And then dedicated in that, you know, I think that's one of the things that maybe has gone missing from Nebraska for quite some time, is you sort of, you can question some of the motives of some of the guys that are here. Are they legitimately focused on making Nebraska better? Are they legitimately focused on team?
Is it me or we?
Right, and I think we've had some me guys.
You're always going to have me guys, but
it feels like this class is legitimately dedicated to making Nebraska better, like, and it shows. I'm trying to think of the member of the senior class where you question their character. There's none of those guys. I think all those guys are pretty solid. They're pretty dedicated, and they've been really mature with how many things they've had to handle.
Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer. And Mike, you've seen a lot of football. You've seen a lot of Nebraska teams. I think 2016, time will tell how special they are, but they're already special. What word or words can you use or think of to describe them?
Well, I would say perseverance, as underscored by the number of walk-on players that are in this class. This is a big class.
Yeah.
And to have 18 of those guys walk-ons, and you know, I think it's interesting, this is kind of a side note, but the last Shrine Bowl All-Star game was played in Memorial Stadium in 2012. That's the group of guys that walked on, and in that Shrine Bowl there was one scholarship player, Drew Ott, went to Iowa. The other guys,
thank you for that name.
I'm going to have the count wrong here, but I think there were 14 guys that played in that Shrine Bowl that walked on here that are still here, not counting Andy Janovich, who finished early, went through in 4 years, and, of course, not counting Sam Fultz.
Right.
But his family is going to be involved in the senior day activities.
Yep.
You think about that, you know, Trey Foster, Brad Simpson, Riker Fife,
Utter.
Dylan Utter, Jordan Nelson, Brad Simpson. I might have mentioned Brad Simpson. Yeah. Sam Hahn was in that.
Yep.
Logan Rath was in that. Garrett Johns was in that class. Mitch McCann was in that in that Shrine Bowl. All those guys.
Brandon Riley.
Riley was in there. In fact,
don't forget
Trey Foster talked about Brandon Riley and Janovich were on the same team. They were on the South, which won the game. And Foster said that Riley was a wideout, and he was supposed to be blocking for Janovich, and the word he used was trucked. Janovich ran right over him. And Trey said, at that point, I figured, I'm walking on, and this guy's walking on?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make it. But he did. But perseverance. And I think you could say the same thing about the scholarship guys, because there's always attrition in scholarship recruiting classes. And I'm not exactly sure. I know that the 2012 class was a pretty small recruiting class. There were 17 guys in that class.
Yep.
Two of them were junior college transfers. So there were 15 guys that walked on that were freshmen. And I think half those guys didn't finish.
Right.
You know, so think about that again. Perseverance. Yep. Those guys stuck it out. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be acknowledged at the game tomorrow. That's the thing. For me, this will be, I guess, my 39th senior day.
Jeez.
You know, being around these guys, because the people are the thing that keeps me doing this, it's always kind of a, I don't know, there's always a kind of a personal aspect to it, seeing these guys. And it's like, gee, it doesn't seem like this guy, seems like he just got here. I mean, I can remember the 85 class, you're going to have Steve Taylor on later. I can remember that class. And when you're talking about classes that had an impact, the 88 senior class had a significant impact on where Nebraska is because of, probably talk about this later, but that's the first group that I remember guys, Steve Taylor, Broderick Thomas, Leroy Atien, actually talking about playing for national championship. Because up to that point, Coach Osborne was always like, we don't talk about that because we don't have any control over that. Hmm. We can control winning the Big Eight, but we can't control winning a national championship.
Right.
That group of guys came in, and they were, by Nebraska standards, they were brash. It's like, no, we want to play for a national title. Now, they didn't do that, but I think in order to get to the point where you can play for a national title, you have to have it as a goal. You have to believe it.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of that came from, that class.
Let's talk a little bit about this senior class. And I believe this senior class learned a lot from the 2012 class, the last class to play for a championship. Also, some of the 2013 guys mixed in as well. And I think that determination, that perseverance that you've touched on was kind of passed forward. And I think that's one thing I'm excited about is, man, how tough this group of seniors have been emotionally and physically and what they've dedicated to this season in the transition. I'm anxious to see what they pay forward 2, 3, 4 years down the road,
right.
Not only because of what's on Nebraska's schedule with Colorado, with Oregon, with Oklahoma, but also the trend in the way the recruiting's going, where you're going after some 4 and 5 star guys and you're going after some high 3 star guys. You're going to need the blue collar element to stick in this program's culture. Go get great athletes, get great players, but have that walk-on mentality and pass that forward as well. That's going to be key to mesh those forward if they want to keep putting championships on up at Memorial Stadium. I think they'll always have a chance to be in it, but it's going to take a mindset and an attitude to do it.
Yeah, and it's going to it doesn't seem like any detail was too small for this group, especially going into this year, and I think that's a direct byproduct of the Sam Fultz tragedy. I think that's sort of how those guys responded, because they knew that's how he acted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mike Riley was saying that from day one about Sam Fultz, was that, yeah, he was a craftsman, essentially. He took pride in every little element that got him to the point to be able to punt the ball. And then when a team embraces that, that goes to nutrition, that goes to strength and conditioning.
Goes into summer workouts.
That leads into everything. And you look at, just physically looking at this team this year and how they play, when was the last time you could say that Nebraska is legitimately better conditioned in the fourth quarter? It's been a long time since we could say that.
We've always owned the fourth quarter.
We'd always hoped that. You'd always hope for that. Oh, four, everybody holds up the four. Fourth quarter, now we're going to play, right? But this team actually does, because you can tell. Look at guys like Michael Rose-Ivy, best shape of his career. Tommy Armstrong, who was always in pretty good shape, best shape of his career. Westerkamp, Carter. You just go down the list.
Different bodies now.
Those guys are they're dedicated. Like I was saying earlier, they're legitimately dedicated, it appears, to all the different. The football's got to get a little better.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty good.
Depth needs to get better and talent,
but
of depth.
But I think these guys have, hopefully what is carried forward was work ethic, which is one of those things that's tough to quantify, but it appears anyways that this group's work ethic was really legit, good.
I think it's good that, you know, you say Sam Fultz sort of symbolized or characterized that attitude, and it's accurate. It's not you know, sometimes these cases, it's after the fact, you know, that something happens like that, and then it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he was a good guy. He was a good guy. People said those things about him when he was here, when he was doing those things. And I think an example of that, sort of pay it forward, he's not a senior yet, Zach Darlington. Look at Zach Darlington, where he has been, and look at his attitude.
Yep.
He came in as a quarterback. He was dealing with that concussion thing when he was a senior in high school.
Yep.
He comes in early. He's a quarterback. He redshirts. He's a backup, doesn't get much opportunity. They move him to receiver.
Yep.
Well, what are the odds he's going to fit in there? But he learned some things from Keith Williams. Then they said, you know, how do you get on the field? Well, I can be a holder. I'll do that.
Right.
This is a guy that was a highly regarded quarterback when he
Ohio
came here.
Ohio State.
Now he's a holder.
Scholarship.
And he's willing to do that.
That he's a quarterback that didn't transfer.
Then they said, you know what? With the situation we've got right now, we don't want to pull Patrick O'Brien out of a red shirt.
Yeah.
We needed to go back and be the quarterback, a backup to Riker Fife if Riker plays and Tommy can't. And it's like whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to do. That's the kind of attitude that is reflective of the senior class, I think, and you see it. Now, I'm not saying it filtered down to Zach Darlington, but he's an example of a guy where it's reinforced. His dad's a coach. I think he understands that, but
yeah,
I think that's the senior class.
It's Mike Babcock, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. We are here at Longwells, the final Hail Varsity tailgate. Inside of Longwells, amazing prizes to give away. Smoked wings for free for you to munch on. Plowshare beer to sip on and try out. The Oris Grand Prize giveaway. Coming up, Steve Taylor and Tony Veland, Jacob Adilla, Mike Babcock. Will talk Maryland next.
Football Fridays, The Rail Yard with Hail Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Great to have you back. We are inside Longwells. The Hail Varsity tailgate continues indoors because it's Oklahoma, Nebraska weather out there. So stay warm, stay inside, and get signed up. The Oris Watch Grand Prize giveaway with Sauter Heyman. His and her Oris Watches. Get down here till 6 o'clock. Mike Babcock, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity joining us, and Steve Taylor, All-American quarterback, is going to be with us here. Tony Veland, Super Bowl champ and All-Conference safety with us as we say it's Maryland week. I did get a text from our dear friend Doug Duda, our affiliates out in Kearney Hastings, Grand Island, ESPN 1460, 1550. Holy hell, 39 senior days. 39 senior days. Mike Babcock here.
That makes me a senior.
Right. It makes you experienced. I love it. Jacob, how we doing?
Doing well outside of the wind.
Yeah, man. It's Kranak just said, you know what, I'm going with the Nebraska stocking hat. If you come down here, Mr. Aaron Babcock, do we still have Hail Varsity stocking hats? Yes, he says thumbs up. He says, yeah, come on in. So if you're wanting to pop by, get signed up for goodies and prizes. You can also get a stocking hat, and they look marvelous. Kranak's eating wings. Tell me about some Husker football this
week. I'll be back.
It's Maryland week. Mike, your thoughts on Maryland. Jacob, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on Maryland. Kind of ballpark this showdown. Durkin's got talent. He's got suspensions. And he has a 5-5 club coming off a 3-9 year. You concerned about Maryland at all?
Well, I'm not necessarily concerned, but I think both sides have quarterback issues right now. Neither side know who's really going to be taking snaps. And Maryland, we all know about Tommy Armstrong Jr. at this point, but Maryland's quarterback, he's been day-to-day for basically the whole season and has been knocked out of the last couple of games. And without him, they have not been able to move the ball and score any points. So both sides could be going into this game with backup quarterbacks. Which kind of throws things up in the air. On the plus side for Nebraska, Maryland has not been able to stop the run against anybody. So as long as Nebraska doesn't go with the Purdue game plan of throwing the ball 55 times again, then they should be able to move the ball on the ground and make it easy if Riker Fife does indeed have to handle the snap.
Mike, let's focus on that. Riker Fife under center tomorrow, likely, not just in relief, but maybe as a starter. And as you've covered this team, your sense of Riker, I mean, he's kind of been waiting for this moment his whole life.
Yeah, I think so. And, I think he's prepared. And I agree with Jacob. Nebraska needs to run the ball. I would say that anyway, whether Maryland's defense has stopped it or not. Nebraska needs to run the ball. That's how. And if you can do that, and Nebraska didn't do that very well against Purdue last year, as I remember. And when you put him in a position where he didn't have any choice but to throw the ball, it's going to be difficult. So Nebraska needs to come out and run the ball against Maryland. If Nebraska can do that, I think Nebraska can be successful. That, you know, the other problem that Maryland has is the best running back or the leading rusher is suspended. One of the receivers is suspended. Now you throw in the uncertainty at quarterback. Offensively, that's not a good situation.
When you're 19 years old, it's just best to walk by the BB gun aisle.
Yeah, yeah. It would be better not to get involved in that. But
I don't know if it was Red Ryder or not.
You know, we're basically saying the same thing about if Riker starts that we'd be saying if Tommy started from the standpoint of you got to be able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And what Nebraska has done when it's been successful is obviously run the ball in the fourth quarter. Let's get that running game going to start out. And it becomes more important, I guess, because if Riker is the starting quarterback. But the same thing would obtain whether it's Riker or Tommy Armstrong.
Here's the thing.
You've got to run the ball.
We've been saying that for, right? Like, I mean, that's how we do it here. Right? I mean, I don't even know what else to say about it. Like, yes, we better do that. Look, if you look at Riker, though, he's had limited snaps.
He's been in awful situations.
Thank you. That's exactly where
his
I was
whole
going
career
with that.
Here,
so,
you're down 30. Have fun in East Lansing.
Yeah.
It's been a bad – I mean,
throw the ball.
Throw the ball.
Go in there and throw the ball when they're expecting it.
Hey,
let's go into Purdue when half of our defense isn't even trying right now and half of the team is mentally rejecting the coaching staff. Go ahead, Riker. We're going to throw it. You know, you can throw it 55 times.
He didn't look comfortable last week is where my thought process is. He had to go in when Tommy got knocked down after the touchdown drive with the ankle. And they went three and out, and they went back to Tommy on one leg. Is he going to finally look comfortable? I don't mind if he doesn't look comfortable at Ohio State, at
Here's
East Lansing,
the thing too,
or even your first career start in Purdue.
Are we sure he's going to play, though? That's the thing, right? Like, I mean, signs are pointing that way, but I'll be shocked if Tommy doesn't take snaps.
I hope he's comfortable.
Hamstring, though, it's hamstring. It's not going to be particularly balmy at kickoff tomorrow.
True. For Antarctica.
What is it, 34 kickoff? Is that what the weather says? Got a hamstring. Hamstrings are uncertain.
Brisk.
You know, I've been on the message board. I see this one of the posters, and I agree with this. Senior day, put Tommy Armstrong in there for the first play. Let him hand the ball to Terrell Newby or whoever.
For a touchdown.
Yeah. For a touchdown. But give him the first snap because it's senior day. And then, and I know Riker's a senior too, but Tommy, I think, has earned that. Now, I'm not getting paid to make those decisions, and I know every down's important. But that's what I'd like to see, and it fits into what we're saying is you got to be able to run the ball. So do that. But no, I think Riker will be fine. I mean, part of the difficulty is you're preparing, like last week, you're preparing thinking maybe you're going to start and maybe you're not, and then you don't.
Right.
And that uncertainty, of course, I guess if you go with my scenario, you didn't start anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's a little bit different because you're in there right away. And it's difficult. And so I think there's going to be some discomfort when he goes in there because he's not had the opportunity to do those things.
Yeah.
But I think he'll –
We all know the tonic for this, though. You said it. We've said it all last year. I've said it probably since the early 80s. Run the ball. Like,
and,
this period.
And they got the offensive line about as healthy as it's been in a while.
It's looking
now.
Good.
I was
finally
shocked at that shift – from the unit that you saw in Columbus to the unit you saw against Minnesota, it was like watching a different team. And, like, are you kidding me?
And I did my Tale of the Tape story from Minnesota on Gerald Foster and some of the things he brings being back out there. Him playing every single offensive snap just blew my mind.
Dude,
I think I put it at about 20, 30 snaps is my guess at the start.
That's what everybody thought, right?
Yeah. And he went out there in every snap and held his own. And not only that, Cole Conrad has been playing well.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily have the power that you would want in a right tackle, but he has really good feet and is doing his job and keeping his quarterbacks clean. And that's all you can ask out of that guy coming in off the bench. and Farmer's back, and Gates another week healthier.
Yep.
So that offensive line, obviously, Utter is the one question mark, but Riley said he expects him to play, and even not. Kavanaugh expressed some confidence in Michael Decker this week and said he got a lot of snaps in practice, and they like what he's doing. So
Jessie has just shown up, and she has the Nebraska football ticket. So everyone wave at Jessie and say hi.
Okay, good.
Put your wings down.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my Ukraine act.
Oh, there's still wings here.
Yes. I already pounded three of those.
Yeah, you
Thank
did.
Thank you.
And it's a good thing they're monitoring your intake on the plowshare, my friend.
No, they're not, actually. I'm on number 7. I'm kidding. It's
17.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Let's talk two names real quick. Josh Banderas, Nate Gary, and up to this point, did Bando and Nate have this type of senior year you thought they'd have, Mike?
They are having the type of senior year that I thought they would have. I don't think that Banderas was that comfortable in the old system.
I don't think either one were.
No, I think that's right. And obviously,
Nate was more comfortable, but yeah.
Gary came in and they had him playing linebacker the first year to get him on the field or whatever. They basically threw them both into the fire, and it was a difficult thing for them. But I just think it's interesting that they're among the handful of guys that have played without redshirting, just went right straight through. They're both captains. Nathan always says small town. Considers himself from a small town. It's like the dynamic duo, you know. And I think they both emerged this year, and I kind of expected it because they came through. And we talked earlier about how guys have persevered, and you know they have stayed the course, and they've gotten better, and they've done all these things. Those two guys are good examples of it. I mean, they're. If they look in the mirror now and they looked in the mirror when they were freshmen, it's a dramatic change for both of those guys. And I expected that, I guess, because of the things that they've said in the course of the time that they've been here and how they've approached things. They've always been accessible to reporters, which is not a requirement, but it shows a level of maturity that sometimes you don't always see in guys. Because it's easy when you're a senior to say, you know what, I'm tired of talking to these people. They ask the same questions or whatever.
Right.
But they take it as, well, it's part of my responsibility as a leader on this team to do that. And I think that is why I'm not surprised that they've been successful.
Yeah, and I'd say Gary has even exceeded my expectations for him this year.
He's been a missile.
We knew he was great as a sophomore, but then last year I think he struggled with that defensive change more than anybody on the team. And we saw him.
I think he had a lot of doubt.
Yeah, we saw him because he was stuck between the two schemes. He didn't know he'd react the way he was supposed to in the old scheme in the heat of the moment at times, and it would just end up blowing the play. And he missed a lot of plays that we knew he was capable of making. This year, he's got that all cleaned up. He's been a great leader. He's making all those plays, barely missing any tackles, let alone messing up plays. And so that's been really impressive to see the way he was able to turn that around, get more comfortable in the second year. And then Banderas, what has impressed me the most, is the fact that he didn't get off to a great start. He wasn't playing his best football the first few weeks of the season. Then around that bye time, that bye period, he really locked in, and since then he's been lights out. And Trent Bray talked about they love Chris Weber, and he hasn't even been able to get on the field because Banderas has played so well.
Yeah.
Jacob Padilla is with us. Mike Babcock, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kwanak. We'll get caught up with Tony Veland. Get a quick Husker update next segment as well from Jacob Padilla with Husker basketball, Mike Babcock. And we are here at Longwell's, the final Hail Varsity tailgate of the year. Your chance at amazing prizes here till 6 or a little after at Longwell's in the Rail Yard.
Back to the Hail Varsity tailgate at the Rail Yard. Here's Schmitty and Kwanak.
We are back here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kwanak. About said TJ Henning. He's back at the studio. TJ, these smoked wings smell amazing. Mike Babcock, Jacob Padilla, Tony Veland, all-conference performer at Nebraska and Super Bowl champ momentarily. You had a thought on Nate Gary.
Yeah.
Tony will have a thought on Nate Gary, I'm sure. And we'll get to Jacob's take on Husker Hoops in a second, but on Gary real quick.
Yeah, just to cover off on Gary and Banderas both is people forget coming out of high school, both of those guys were state champion caliber track stars. Banderas in the hurdles was, I believe he finished first or second. I mean, he was a contender for the state title as a linebacker, right? This guy was right at the top of the heap in Class A. And then Nate Gary ran something like a 10-2. He ran like a 10-200. So you were talking about guys with primo speed, but you didn't necessarily know it throughout their career. This year, you're actually seeing it, right? I mean, how many times have you seen Banderas now just quickly close in, like you haven't seen him do it before, and just erase a play? And same with Gary both. And so it's cool to see, and it tells you a lot about kind of the mental makeup and making sure you have the right coaching and the right understanding and you have the right mindset and all that. You're seeing that speed from those guys more now than you have in their entire career.
But as Jacob said, that's the thing, is that they're more comfortable in the system.
Yeah.
A year ago, Mark Banker talks about this. A year ago, when guys got tired on defense, they reverted back to the other. They start doing what they did before, mm-hmm. what they were comfortable with, and that wasn't what the system was.
Yep.
And it's made a big difference because they can use that ability now because they're comfortable in the system. That's what Jacob said, and I think that's a big difference for these guys.
Yep.
Jacob, I don't know if Carl Malone's coming to town Saturday, but Louisiana Tech comes in. You had a chance to catch up with Coach Miles earlier, Husker Hoops.
Yeah, he's expecting a good test from Louisiana Tech. They just hung tight with South Carolina the other day. Last year, they went 23-10, and they knocked off Ohio State in the non-conference.
Breaks my heart.
But, yeah, he's expecting a real test from them. They've got some good athletes. They got an all-conference caliber player coming back from last year in their four-man, McKee. What Miles is really looking at is their athleticism and the way they pressure you. And he thinks that'll be a great test for them. Glenn Watson has been phenomenal taking care of the ball. He's got one turnover, I think, this season, even
wow.
including the exhibition game.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's been tremendous. And the team as a whole, I think, and Miles talked about, it's not just on Watson here to be able to handle the kind of pressure that Louisiana Tech is going to put up against them. They just got to, as a team, everybody's got to do their job and handle guys being in their face.
Jacob, we'll read you tomorrow after the Nebraska football game and Husker basketball game, HaleVarsity.com at Jacob Padilla _. Jacob, thanks for coming by. Appreciate you so much. And we are now joined by Tony Veland, a all-conference performer, standout out of Omaha, quarterback, and then to safety, and then off to the NFL and a Super Bowl championship with Denver. Big-time forced fumble in that first Super Bowl John Elway won. And the Broncos won against Green Bay. When I think of wings, I think of Gilbert Brown, and I think of that Green Bay team. Because Gilbert Brown.
Think of Gilbert Brown when you think of
wings. They did a Monday night thing, or they did a Sunday thing with John Madden about, Gilbert could eat. 17 pounds of wings. Tony Veland's like, can I run for the exit? Tony, nice to talk to you again.
Wow.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. So let's dive into Nebraska and the senior class. And we were talking about a couple of guys that really have made this class go and this defense go, and that's Nate Gary and Banderas, Kevin Maurice. Obviously big time on the line too, but yeah. Let's talk and get your perspective from safety to safety on Nate Gary. What have you seen this year?
I've seen honestly more of the same that I've seen pretty much over his career. He's probably been one of the most consistent players that they've had on here, and I'm glad he's kind of stepped up and been a little bit more of a vocal leader, a little bit more of an example of a leader that he need to be. I love the fact that he gets out there and he's just a playmaker. And you've got to like a guy who comes out there who's got great instincts, who doesn't play slow, who's a good tackler, has great ball skills. And I said this on another radio interview that I did, that he's one of those guys who his instincts are just to go. You know, he's not thinking, sitting back there trying to think about what's coming. And when he sees something, he believes it, and he makes a play.
Right.
And when you have a guy that can make a play like that, he's able to make great plays as opposed to guys who are thinking about it, and they may have a chance to make a good play or maybe no play because they're thinking so much. He just goes. I think that background of him being a linebacker then switching to the safety, and I think it's helping him be a much better player. And he's going to be one of those guys that you're definitely going to see on Sundays.
What do you see out of those the other guys that are younger that taking a back seat to Gary when it comes to headlines right now? But you got Aaron Williams, Kyron Williams. You got Antonio Reed that gets a little bit of playing time. All those guys, sophomores and juniors. When you watch them, what stands out? Who maybe catches your eye a little bit more than maybe some of the others?
I would say, honestly, both of the Williams guys. What was it, Kyron? Is that his
yeah.
name?
Hey, yeah.
That guy can play.
Yeah.
That guy can play. And you say they may be taking a back seat. It's not that much of a back seat because they're making plays. I mean, if I want to say he has somewhere around 60 tackles and maybe what, four or five picks or something like that. I know Aaron Williams has a couple picks. Jones has a couple picks. So these guys are definitely looking at what Gary is doing and basically trying to do the same thing. And I think it's such a great thing when you have a leader on a team that's playing well. If you're a guy that's playing next to him, you don't want to be the guy that's not doing anything. You don't want to be the guy that nobody's talking about. So you step up your plate to be in that conversation. And honestly, this secondary has improved so much because of what they've done, and it's just a great thing to see.
Tony, how kind of an historical question here, but how do the safeties play now compared to how your responsibilities when you were playing?
They're a lot more aggressive now, a lot more towards the run stuff. But when I played free safety, I was more of a – I mean, we came up and forced the run, don't get me wrong, but I was really more of a get back there and make sure nobody catches the ball behind me type of safety. You know,
uh-huh.
And if somebody broke through the line of scrimmage, you better make the tackle, that type of deal. But I think now you have a free safety, you have a strong safety, but both of those guys got to be able to play close to the line of scrimmage. And they got to be able to come up and make plays. And they got to be able to come in and take away that dig route as opposed to being farther back. So it's just been a little bit more aggressive against the pass and against the run.
This is kind of in the same vein, but I always think these things run in cycles. And now you see these wide open offenses and 60 points and whatever. Do you think will it be cyclical? Will defenses catch up to this stuff, or are we all because of the changes in rules for safety reasons and all this sort of thing, will we see it go back, or will defenses not catch up with these offenses?
I don't know if they'll ever really catch up, to be completely honest with you. I think, you know, they make the rules to have offenses score a bunch of points so people can feel the stands. I mean, to be completely honest with you, nobody wants to really see a 0-0 game or a 7-0 game. They want to see people scoring points, unfortunately. Now, me, myself, I'd rather see people getting stuck all the time and going down to the wire. But, I mean, I love where it's at right now, but I wish the defenses could be a little bit more dominant.
It's Tony Veland. He was a big-time player for Nebraska in their national championships. He is with us here at Longwell's, the Hale Varsity Tailgate. Tony, come on back. A quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one.
Football Fridays, The Rail Yard, with Hale Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Back with you, we are in at Longwell's. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock, Tony Veland. Next hour, we will have Klausburn, the Friday forecast. Also, don't forget All-American quarterback Steve Taylor. And I want to remind you about your friends at Zipline Brewing. You can get a Zipline down here at Longwell's. But Zipline started brewing in Lincoln, and they've been incredible the past several years. Record sales the last 4 years. The gold medal winning Copper Alt, the nationally recognized IPA. It's a Mark Kranak approved IPA.
Hey.
40 different beers and a new tap room, a new beer hall for you, 56 and Pine Lake in Lincoln. And, of course, Zipline available all across Nebraska. In draft or six packs, also at your local bottle shop or grocery store. And if you're coming to town, be sure you find your way to Zipline, either 56th and Pine Lake or their West O location. 56th and Pine Lake open Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6. But Zipline, great folks. They are purely passionate about what they do with beer. Zipline Brewing Company, brewed in Lincoln, poured for all in Nebraska. Good folks at Plowshare are here for the craft beer samples. Also wings courtesy of Kidwell. And smoked wings, wall supplies. Last, Tony Veland back with us. And Tony, Mike has seen a lot of senior classes. Mark and I have grown up watching Nebraska football. I remember your senior day. You came out of the tunnel. You guys blanked Oklahoma 37-0. Did you have that fumble recovery for a touchdown?
I did.
That was you.
I did. That was me.
That was you.
That was me, yeah.
Was it, what word would you use to describe your senior class, aside from dominant?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a little tough. You want to describe one word? I mean, I guess, I don't even know if I described just the senior class, but I would just say the whole class. It was just family. You know, I mean, we had all come there at a time where, you know, we knew we were a good team, but we were trying to get to that next level. And we had to try to find a way to bond together and figure out what can we do to make ourselves better. And us coming together to have an unfinished business and to finally get the, you know, the monkey off T.O.'s shoulder or back, whatever that saying is. I mean, it was just amazing. And I thought that we had, you know, really, really good leadership, really good senior leadership, and that's what it all boiled down to.
One of the things, Tony, that I always thought that impressed me about the way Coach Osborne approached things, by the time you were a senior, you had run through things, repetition, time after time mm-hmm. after time. Guys really knew what – it was instinctive. Guys knew what to do then.
Right.
Is that an accurate description of the way it was? I mean, that
– No, that's very accurate. That's very accurate. I mean, for most people that were coming into the program at that particular time, you kind of knew what the route was. Most people – and I mean, you're – superstars, super athletes, those guys may have had a chance to not redshirt and maybe play. But most guys were going to come in there, were going to redshirt, and they probably weren't going to play their second year as well. So you've got 2 years to really learn the schedule. I mean, learn the system, learn the offense and defense, roll your body. And so you've got 2 years of just going through reps before you actually step out on the field. So by the time you're a senior, you've pretty much seen it all, been through everything, and nothing surprises you.
Do you ever look...
Oh, will we come back?
Yeah, I want to ask
I
want to ask about the quarterback thing.
Tony Veland's going to be here next hour. He's not running away. Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock, Tony Veland. Steve Taylor is coming up, and we'll have an hour two here at Longwells. We invite you to come on down the final Hail Varsity tailgate here in Longwells. We're here till 6 as we are continuing on.
Welcome to the Hail Varsity Tailgate at the Rail Yard. Every home football Friday. Now, here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock, Tony Veland hanging out, Steve Taylor momentarily. And we are at Longwells, the final Hail Varsity Tailgate of the year. We're indoors because... we can be, thankfully. Plenty of great goodies for you. Nebraska and Maryland tickets for football. You can win here with Hail Varsity at Longwells. Come on down. We're here for another hour on radio and then beyond for you to qualify. Also, Nebraska, Louisiana Tech tickets for Saturday night at PBA. Husker gear, Husker goodies, and the grand prize Oris Watch giveaway with Sauter Heyman. His and her Oris watches valued at $3,500. I sent a tweet out about what an Oris watch looks like. They're beautiful. They're amazing. And they're light. They're lovely. They're nice. And just in honor of Mark Kranak here at Longwells, the Iowa-Michigan game highlights have been on repeat.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah. And, big Iowa fan.
And right now the world loves them some Houston football again. As Louisville got upended. I want to remind you about HailVarsity.com. The website's got a facelift. The website is premium, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days when you go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe. You can also get a six-month subscription now for a premium online subscription. Call the studio. Get a hold of TJ. Caller 6. We'll get that six-month premium online subscription, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller 6 now. That free Husker premium online subscription with HaleVarsity.com. 6 months, call now. Okay, we had to go to break. We're talking the 1995 senior class. We're talking championships. Babbers, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I think 2016, it kind of fits into the 2016 thing, guys, the attitude or so forth. And Tony's answered this question, I'm sure, hundreds of times. He could have been the quarterback. I think it was patella tendon or something that sort of put him on the sideline. And when he came back, basically, you know, you can help us as a safety. Became outstanding safety. He's a captain, the whole everything. How tough was that to give up quarterback?
Honestly, not as tough as you think,
really? To
be completely honest with you. You know, they really wanted me to play quarterback, to play safety when I first got here. And I wanted to prove myself as quarterback, and I was doing that, but I was having so many problems just staying healthy. And so when I finally tore my knee up, I was like, well, you know, maybe if I hit people, I won't get hurt. I took that whole attitude, and I went ahead and made the change. But it wasn't that tough because, number one, I played pretty much every position in high school. You know, so I was used to playing defensive back. But it was even better because, obviously, as a quarterback, you're used to studying the game. And so I knew what to expect from offenses. I knew what route combinations were coming and those type of things. So what helped me get there, it was just a matter of getting my footwork right, being able to play man-to-man and be able to tackle in space. Otherwise, I'm not going to say it was a piece of cake. It wasn't a piece of cake, but it also helped that I have some great players in front of me to hide any deficiencies that I had. So it worked out well.
I mean, I think that it's attitude. And, again, he was captain. I mean, you get elected captain.
Selflessness.
People, you know, your teammates understand that, and that's how you get to be a captain.
Yeah.
But that's how championships are won. That's how teams are successful, is to have that kind of attitude.
It mentality figures into that too, and I remember Ron Brown saying, and it's not, I don't think it's widely known, it might be by people that are Husker fans that have been really into it for a while, but a couple of the things. Now, you played on the defensive side of the ball, but started on offense. Is it true that you were not to run out of bounds? Nobody could run out of bounds. I remember Ron Brown saying this, that unless it was to stop the clock, you don't run out of bounds, and then you also don't fair catch.
Well, I don't know about the fair catch thing, but yeah, you could run out of bounds if you didn't want to play anymore the rest of the day.
That was a legitimate internal rule.
Like, literally, yeah. I mean, because we play smash mouth football. You know, we were supposed to impose our will. And you don't impose your will. You look kind of like a cream puff if you run out of bounds as opposed to putting your head down and trying to run somebody over. Mm-hmm. So that was just our mentality, and it worked well for us.
Now, you said you don't know about the fair catch. Literally, you just don't know. You just don't remember if that was a thing.
I don't remember. I don't ever remember a coach telling us the fair catch by any means. And I know my senior year, Mike Foreman was our punt returner, and there were some times where I thought he should have fought fair caught ball, and he didn't. But that was just our mentality. We're just going to go after it. And if you get hit hard, so what? You know, if not, then you got a chance to make a big play. And it paid off for us.
Isn't that interesting, though, that that's something you could institute today, but no one does that anymore, right? Like, people just don't do it. But things like that matter, don't they, in terms of, like, the collective team mentality?
Well, it matters big time because it shows the toughness of your team when it's all said and done. If you're always looking to shy away from contact, well, whether you're on the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball, that's not good for the longevity of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to have the toughness to be able to beat up the team that's in front of you. That's what made us good. And if those guys, those guys that are out there right now, honestly, they've shown that to me. I mean, we've had some games where obviously we, you know, got beaten this and that. But to be able to beat up on guys, and then wear them down in the fourth quarter and then overcome, that's the toughness that I like to see. And hats off to the coaching staff for getting to pull that out of them.
Husker standout Tony Veilan with us here at Longwell's Hale Varsity Tailgate. Tony, to wrap up here, what senior influenced you the most that kind of paid forward what you need to be a Nebraska football player? Obviously, you worked hard in the offseason. You had internal goals. But what senior kind of showed you the ropes?
You're talking about when I was there?
When you were there, yes.
So a senior when I was a freshman or a sophomore?
When you got to Nebraska, who'd you look to?
That's tough. That's a good question. Honestly, I'll probably say Kenny Wilhite.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, Kenny Wilhite. He had a real good He had a great attitude. He was very helpful. He got out on the field and he produced. And even though that he went against a lot of guys who were bigger than him, stronger than him, faster than him, he found a way to overcome. And so I took from that and learned from that. And I was like, you know, it doesn't matter what the odds are against me. I got a team that's behind me, and we're going to overcome.
I tell you what, that was an awesome kind of point of reference. Tony Veland is here. Tony, we may bring you back. We'll for sure bring you back on the show, but around 5:40 or so. Go ahead and grab Steve Taylor. We need more mics.
Yeah, we do.
All I could wrangle was five or four. My four.
Yeah.
But Tony's going to hang out. Smoked wings are here from Kidwell.
Uh-huh.
At
Buffalo
at,
and barbecue sauced, but smoked
and you've
originally.
Tried both.
Yeah, I sampled two barbecue and one buffalo. And
what do
and
we got
they,
going at Plowshare? Because you have samples.
There wasn't anybody twisting his arm, I'll tell you that.
No,
we're talking Nick Geary and how quick he was to go get a screenplay or a tackler.
Plowshare, they got.
That's Kranak to the wing buffet line.
Faster than I've ever seen him move.
Thanks. Plowshare, they got a tailgate red and an IPA and then another one.
Very good.
Yeah.
Welcome
good.
In, All-American quarterback for Nebraska. Big Eight champion and two-time All-American quarterback. And Steve Taylor was kind enough to speak at my Leon's midget football banquet. And
don't date me like that, my man.
No, I'm dating me. It's okay.
All right.
Steve
All
Taylor's right. with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Steve, what's up? It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on down to the Hail Varsity tailgate. How are you?
I'm good. I'd be a lot better after we get these next two wins, though.
I bet. Yeah. Getting back to 10-2, right?
10-2. That just sounds good, doesn't it?
Sounds great.
Take it in stride, but yes, it does sound a lot better than what it sounded.
It's big time. So I got to ask you the proverbial quarterback question. Your thoughts on Tommy, and have your thoughts on Tommy changed from the beginning of his senior year to now? Because the guy's been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I said this early in the year. I thought this could be a really good year for Tommy. It could be a Cinderella year for the Huskers. You know, the schedule kind of lined up, where we were with our program, where we're trying to go. I thought it set up for a really good, positive year. It would have been nice to knock off the Badgers. I think if I would have done that, that would have really, really put a big stamp on it. But, you know, we got. I know for sure Iowa is going to be a tough game. With Maryland, we should be able to handle, depending on what's going on. But with the state of our program, where we were, where we've been in the last, you know, decade or two, you know, it's really been tough. But I think we're on the right track. I think we're going in the right direction. I know we've been saying this for a long time, but we got some good people down there that I think the players can have a good experience. They can learn. They can mature, get better. We can recruit. So we can try to get back to where Nebraska used to be, you know, way back in the day. But, you know, right now, if we can win 10 games, that would be a very, very That would be a really, really good accomplishment if we could do that.
Steve Taylor's with us on the Hail Varsity tailgate. You're around the team a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When Riley came in last year, decidedly different than Bo that he's not the guy that's going to be the disciplinarian day after day after day, right? Like, he expects the team to do that. So it's year two under that sort of philosophy. From what you've seen, is the team starting to self-police a little bit more?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't want people to miss. I was a Bo Pelini supporter. I mean, I like Bo Pelini. He did a lot of great things. I don't think he had enough people around him to really elevate his coaching and where he could go. So I want people to understand that from the start.
Sure.
I had a relationship with Riley prior to him coming here in the CFL.
CFL? Yeah.
You know, we played against him in the 90, I think it was the 91 Grey Cup. I went 3 years. It was my second year where we went to the Grey Cup. We played against Riley, and they beat us. Winnipeg beat us. So I knew a lot about him, and all the players loved him, and he was a good coach. So I had some history with him, and he reminds me a lot of Coach Osborne. Now, obviously, Coach Osborne has done what he's done, but he has a lot of his characteristics. It's the way he coaches, he instructs, he teaches. He's very calm. He's cool. He's collected. You know, so I knew that the players would have a really good opportunity to play under a coach that they could grow from. And so I was really excited for everyone. And, you know, whenever you come, it takes at least three to five years to really change things over for players to buy into what you're doing and to cultivate the type of environment you want to have. So obviously last year was a very, very difficult year, but I knew things would get better and players would grow to respect Coach Riley and his staff and get better. So now I'm sure that they can have a similar experience to what I've had at Nebraska and many players before me. Not just saying that they did not have that with Bo. You know, I witnessed a lot of things that while I was there under Bo's tenure that, you know, I would like to see things differently. But the way these coaches have handled these players and the way they mentor and everything, I'm really pleased that they're going to have an opportunity to succeed or fail on their own. And these coaches are going to help them.
All-American and Big 8 champ Steve Taylor with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Longwell's, the Hail Varsity Tailgate. Here till 6, great prizes and goodies and giveaways, so come on by. Food and beer samples for you. Steve, your senior year, 1988, your schedule, yes. You played 6 ranked teams. You led a furious comeback against Troy Aikman. You beat Barry Sanders. You beat Coach Switzer in his last game. Yes. You beat a really awesome Colorado team that was on the rise.
Let's not forget Texas A&M and the kickoff.
No, I was getting back to Jersey,
okay,
baby.
I
was going back. I was going back to the kickoff classic. They were number 10 in the country.
Absolutely, yeah.
So your senior year was incredible. Your team finished with, you get to go play Miami in Miami.
Tough game. Yeah.
High five that one, right?
You know what? I will say this.
Your senior day, Colorado, 7-0. Tell me about it.
Oh, man, they had a good team. And I just talked about this, and I was talking about my buddy over here, Mike Babcock, that I was up to about 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget. We stayed overnight at the Kellogg Center, and Broderick and I were roommates, and I went down. Because we didn't have cell phones back then. Can you imagine that? You know, so I went downstairs, and I don't know if it was a pay phone or not, but I called my girlfriend, my mom, and some friends. It kind of hits you at that moment that this is the last time you're going to play at Memorial Stadium. Mm. And by me not redshirting and playing for 3 years, starting for 3 years, I mean, it really flew by. It really flew by. And then you start to really reflect on what you've accomplished, what you didn't accomplish, what your goals were, and all those things, and where you're going to go from here, you know. I knew that I was going to play after collegiate football. I mean, I knew that, so I knew I would play football and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it does hit you, though, that you're no longer, what's done is done. It's all over. And everything, so you really start to reflect on that, and it's a very, very emotional time. And when you run out of the stadium, back then it was the South Side, you know, and what that feeling was going to be like the last time you're going to run down there, and at that time you got 77,000 people cheering you on in the sea of red. So it was really emotional time, you know, and we're playing against a very, very good Colorado team at home and everything. So you know, it's a quite emotion. It's a really emotional day.
Follow that up with your final regular season game. We got about 2 minutes.
Yes.
And a little less than, but
I can talk a lot, so help me.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is you go down and you end the streak against Oklahoma.
Yes. I mean, Oklahoma.
You beat Charles Thompson.
Oh, no, they had some of the best teams ever. And to beat them in Norman was great. Our defense rose to the occasion. We were so close for so many years, but they rose to the occasion there. And we got that win in Norman. So that was a great way to finish, to cap off my career. You know, and then, we played Miami in the Orange Bowl. And that is the first time after the game I told my wife we could have played them 5 times and they would have beaten us. I mean, they were just that good. I mean, before I got the snap, they were in the backfield, you know, causing havoc, you know. So I said, Steph, I've never lined up with a team that I thought we could not beat. Even when we lost, I thought we could have beat them. But that game, I thought we would play them 10 times. They probably would have beat us 10 times. They were really that good.
Steve, we have the Friday forecast coming up. Hang out. We'll have you
Absolutely.
And Tony back at 5:40. So the Hail Varsity.
If they'd have played 11 times, they would have won.
We probably would have. Yeah,
they would have figured it out.
Coach Dobbin would have figured it out.
That 88 team was tremendous. Klausburn and the forecast is coming up. We're in Longwell's for the Hail Varsity Tailgate as we continue on with Hail Varsity Radio.
So you want me to come?
Home Football Fridays, the Rail Yard with Hail Varsity. Now back to the tailgate.
Back here, we are at Longwell's, and I think there are some Bruno Mars tickets that you could register for around the area. Jen is like, late. See ya. I'm going to get over there. All right, we are at Longwell's with Hail Varsity. Steve Taylor and Tony Veland coming back in about 15 minutes. Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock, Nate Rutt, Uncle Nate, Oh, you're kidding me here. This is not good. We are in search of Klausburn, but he's not answering, which means he's stuck in Kansas somewhere. So we'll see if we get Klausburn or not. But Nate Rutta, Gary Michaels Clothiers, the premier men's clothing shop in all of Nebraska, and top five retailer in, of course, the country. An amazing award. And, Nate, what's coming up next Saturday, bud?
Well, guys, it's getting to be that time of year. The holiday season's right around the corner, and next Saturday is what's called Small Business Saturday. So if you're out and about, support your local businesses.
Will do, and we're proud and excited to have you on the Friday forecast. Without further ado, let's get the forecast cranked up and get rolling that way. Our weekly forecast presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program of the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you know or love has a problem with gambling, the statewide call at number 1-800-522-4700. Brandon Vogel is with us, a Hail Varsity. Vogues, how we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Is Klausburn with us? No. Well, we will try him and move forward. Let's start the ball game off, though, with Washington State at Colorado. The Buffs, number 10. My favorite Pirate in at number 22. Ralphie is now up to minus 5.5. I'm going to say my pick. I think Washington State's run defense is too good. I think Luke Falk is too good a passer. And give me the Cougars in a road win, 31-21, a win and an outright win on the road. Mark.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough place to go into this late in the year, as Nebraska fans know. I've been impressed with Washington State ever since Mike Leach called them out. They have not lost a game, what, since then, right? Ever since he kind of took them all to task.
Eight in a row.
Yep, eight in a row for Washington State. But yeah, I think it pains me to say it, but I think Colorado's for real for the first time in a long time. And I think it'll be a high-scoring affair nonetheless, but I'll go with Colorado 41 and Washington State 34.
Vogues, what do you say?
Yeah, pretty impressed with both teams so far, minus the traditional Washington State slow start. But Colorado's giving up less than 20 points a game. Got a top-10 pass defense. I think they'll fare pretty well here. Close game, but I'll take the Buffs 31-24.
Nate from Gary Michaels Clothiers, Uncle Nate.
I've got Colorado... just because they're at home. I think they'll win the game, but I do have Washington State to cover. I have Colorado 31, Washington State 28.
Fine. Babbers, do you have a shot or a thought?
I was hoping Klausburn would be here to give his
so was I.
Because I can't remember what I put on the website for Hail Varsity. So if I say something that's contrary to what I said, I'm in trouble, so maybe I just better agree with Nate is what I'm thinking, because what if I said Washington State was going to win on the website, and now I'm going to say Colorado is.
You said Colorado on the website.
I said
too,
Colorado.
Yeah.
I think I said that because of the home field thing. Mm-hmm. And really, Colorado has been kind of a looked at as a dark horse, the way Colorado has played.
They could win out.
And if Colorado wins out, wins the Pac-12, you're kind of in the conversation there, and I think that's why I was conflicted. I know that because of the Pirate, and Washington State is unpredictable. I mean,
oh God,
yeah. Washington State scored 125 points in the last two games, I think. So you never know what's going to happen with that. But I think Folsom Field and what Colorado has at stake there. Probably gives a little bit of an edge to them.
They will put their gummy bears down long enough to cheer for a football game. All right, Oklahoma at West Virginia. Boomer Sooner minus 3. Vogues, what happens?
Yeah, it should be pretty pretty fun atmosphere. I don't think anyone sort of circled Oklahoma at West Virginia at the start of the season as one of the biggest games in the Big 12, but it looks that way now. I've been impressed with West Virginia. They're just solid on both sides, but I think Oklahoma's rolling here a little bit. I'll take them to win and barely cover 35-31.
Cranack.
I'm going to abstain only because I watched Oklahoma and Texas Tech a few weeks ago. They're not even playing the sport of football. I don't know what they're playing. I'm serious. Now, I know West Virginia is better defensively than Texas Tech, but I lost a ton of respect for Oklahoma. I don't know. I stay away from Big 12 stuff, man. I just can't even.
Okay.
What are they doing in that conference?
So, Kleenex says I don't care.
I abstain.
Okay. I'm going to go with West Virginia. It's at home. It's at night. There's couches to burn and shine to make. I like what West Virginia does defensively. If you're going to say there's one team in the Big 12 that kind of plays defense, it's West Virginia. They'll do that enough. Oklahoma's got a quarterback that's great, but they got a defense that, to win this game, they need to get after the quarterback, and their top pass rusher said, peace, I'm out. I'm not going to play with you guys anymore. I'm going to worry about the NFL because of my concussion status. So I think Oklahoma's a mess. Give me West Virginia 38-35.
It's disgusting.
Give
football.
Me them 38-35 yeah. over Oklahoma. Volks. Did we lose Brandon?
No, I'm here. I'm still at 35-31.
Thank you. I got lost. Uncle Nate, Gary Michaels, Clothiers. I gave him a chance.
Gave him a century there.
He didn't change his mind. We're just going to double check with you every time.
Yeah, sometimes he gets skipped. Nate from Gary Michaels does not. Go ahead.
Schmitty, I'm kind of like you. I think that OU's just who knows what if they can play any defense at all. I'll take West Virginia at home getting the 3 points. I think they win outright, first team to 40, 40-38, West Virginia.
Okay, we got to move a little quicker here. Florida at LSU, the makeup game. LSU at home, minus 13.5. Florida doesn't have good quarterback play. LSU's rolling. Big-time bounce back against Arkansas last week. And I like this one, 28-13-ish. Give me LSU.
13.5 is a pretty big number, though. That's what LSU's favored by right now. And they're beat up a little bit, obviously. LSU's got Adrian Peterson part two on their offense, so that's good.
As long as you don't throw a coffee cup at anybody.
I think LSU wins it in Death Valley, but I don't think it'll be too high scoring. Go with 24-17 LSU.
Babbers, have a thought?
Yeah, I do. If this game would have been played when it was supposed to be played, October 8th, is that
yep.
right?
Yeah.
In Gainesville, right?
I think it would have been a lot different situation than it's going to be now. I think LSU is going to win the game. I think Florida is beset by injuries and yeah. all kinds of things that wouldn't have been the case earlier. I think LSU wins by 8 points.
Vogues, what do you say?
Well, speaking of sort of ugly football, Mark, I think this more fits the bill for me than the Big 12. You know, this is going to be sort of an ugly defense first punt fest for the most part. Because it's in Louisiana, I guess I'll take LSU 21-13.
Nate from Gary Michaels.
I think that, LSU, I think they're probably the superior team now. 6 weeks ago, it'd have probably gone the other way, but give me LSU 27, Florida 10.
All right, Ohio State at Michigan State, minus 22.5, the Buckeyes. And I think this is a bit closer. I think there's still some pride that wears green, but Urban and company are on a bit of a mission. 38-21. I think the win, but not the cover for Ohio State. They're sitting at number two. They got to figure out the style point side of things. But D'Antonio won't make it easy, but give me Ohio State. Kranek.
You know Michigan State is better than they've shown. It's not like they've recruited that terribly. It's not like their coaching is that terrible. But I agree with you. I think Ohio State and Urban Meyer, their situation is once they kind of flip a switch and figure it out, you sort of look out, hide the women and children. And I think Ohio State's in that mode. And I think they roll in this one. They put up 50-plus. Give me something like 52-10.
Vogues, what happens?
Yeah, it'd be a little like the Michigan game for about a quarter and a half, I think, before Ohio State gets things going their way. And from there, it's kind of Katie bar the door. I'll take Ohio State pulling away late, 42-17.
Nate from Gary Michaels.
Yeah, I'm with these guys. I think that Ohio State, it's November. Urban's got them playing right. I've got Ohio State with the cover, 41-10.
Mike Babcock.
Ohio State won't score 62 this week. It won't be 62-3.
Better
there's a
not
pattern
be.
There.
That's been the trend.
It might be. Urban Meyer. Yeah, it's the Blues Brothers. He's on a mission
from God.
From God. 49-20, I think, is what I picked for the website. I might be a little generous with Michigan State on that, but it's not going to be close by the end.
Okay. Nebraska, Maryland, I think this will be a struggle. I think the emotion will be a little too much for Nebraska at times for senior day tomorrow. And I think Nebraska wins 28-14. I think the run game gets rolling. I think Terrell Newby has 150 yards total offense, and the offensive line wins it along with the defense. I think the quarterback play will be sketchy, even if Tommy does start, just because of the injury situation. And I think if Riker's in for a ton of snaps, they'll need to rely on the run game. That's obvious, but I don't know if he'll get a good feel. I hope he does. 28-14, Nebraska.
Maryland's coming out on the other side of just getting worked by the creme de la creme of the Big Ten. I think they're low on confidence.
124-6.
Yeah, I think they're really low on confidence right now. They obviously don't have a quarterback. They're entering another cathedral at Nebraska. A lot of people are saying this one's going to be close, but I think Nebraska found something in the run game, and I think they're going to be forced to use it more this week. So I'm going to take Nebraska winning big in this one, 41-17.
Nate from Gary Michaels.
I like Nebraska also. I just think that hopefully they'll come out tomorrow and just push them around. I see Nebraska winning 32-12.
All right, 20-point number. Babbers and Vogues, about 90 seconds. Babbers first.
I've got Nebraska 34-13, and I think that might be a little, you know, it's been a scrap for Nebraska in most games. Could be the same thing here, you know, because of the quarterback situation. Could be a scrap.
Vogue's about 10 seconds. Sorry about that.
Yeah, pretty close late, maybe 28-20. Nebraska tacks on a late touchdown to cover. I'll go 35-20 final.
There we have it. And the Friday forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and the Choices Treatment Center. More from Longwell's as we continue.
To the Hale Varsity Tailgate at the Rail Yard. Here's Schmitty and Kranak.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine. We are here in Longwells, the Hale Varsity Tailgate, the final edition of 2016. Your chance at the Oris Watch grand prize giveaway. His and her Oris watches from Sauter Heyman, smoked wings from Kidwell, and Plowshare beer while it lasts, and plenty of Hale Varsity goodies. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock. Tony Veland is back. Steve Taylor is back. And we're talking Nebraska, Maryland. We're talking about, we're kind of going down memory lane a bit with some senior days. And Steve, will start with you. With senior day, we kind of talked a little bit about the win over Oklahoma to get the Big A championship back. Tony, we talked with you about winning and going out, trying to capture back-to-back national championships. And I want to ask you, Steve, and then Tony, you kind of follow up here. What do you like best about the Mike Riley culture?
You know, I just like that these guys are going to play with some guys that are consistent, that they're going to grow, they're going to learn from, and they're going to be better men when they leave the university. Because, you know, like Coach Osborne used to say, there's life after football. And when I watch these kids around Coach Riley in practice, I watch them, these high school kids at the Friday night lights when they had, and how jovial the players were and how he was communicating with them. You know, I just look at the experience that these guys are going to have. It's just going to be a really good experience as far as being able to become the best football player you can be, to get life skills to take you further when you're done playing football. So, I mean, that's what life is all about, because we all know the percentage of players going to play at the next level, and that they had a chance to get a good, solid education and to really grow as young men.
Tony, your thoughts on the culture you see down there?
I like where it's going. I would say just from where we came from last year to where, you know, we played a number of games and we were finding ways to lose as opposed to finding ways to win, to where we are this year, where even though we've had a couple of games that didn't go so well, in my opinion, he's breeding fighters here. You know, he's breeding fighters, guys that are going to play, you know, from the first minute to the last whistle was blown. It's shown in our statistics through fourth quarter, because I think we're probably the best performing fourth quarter team in the nation. That says a lot about your culture. That says a lot about, you know, believing in your coach's philosophy. That says a lot about believing in your team. And I think when you have that, then you have the makings of something that can be something special. So I think tomorrow is going to be a good game. I think, you know, they're going to perform well, and I think they're going to go out on a good note.
You know, Tony and Steve can say we, because they're part of it. Once a Husker, always a Husker. The thing that I appreciate, and I wonder how difficult it is, but you guys both represent the university well after football. You represented the university on the field. Now you represent it well. Is it difficult sometimes not to fall in the back of that mentality, back when I was playing, this is the way, you know, that doesn't serve a purpose. And I don't see that from either of you. Is it difficult?
You know, it's not. And I think we try to be conscious of that, because when I tell my wife, when I was 19 years old and I was having breakfast or having a meal at the training table with some guy that played back in the 60s, I had no idea who he was and everything. And we are that guy right now, you know, but we're one big family. We want the best for the university. And it's just really nice to see that we have good people in place. I'm talking about with the athletic director, the chancellor, the president, all those people, everything is there for Nebraska to continue that tradition. And it was, you know, we've had a decade or two where we haven't been stellar, you know, and I think Bo Pelini did some great things. But it's just really nice to look back at it, to see our program. I can wear my jersey or wear my Husker in and be proud of it wherever I go in the country. And it's just well represented.
Yeah, I'm going to agree 100% with that. I mean, this all goes back to the Devaney days, to the Osborne days. I mean, they breed a certain type of person. You know, we're talking about developing the player, talking about developing the man, representing the university the way it's supposed to be represented. So even though we're not here anymore, we're not donning the field and putting on the uniform anymore, we're still down there with those guys in spirit. So I'm not going to sit up here and beat up on any of those guys because maybe they don't win a particular game. This is about uplifting. You know, we can talk in private with some of the players and say, listen, these are the things you need to correct. But, you know, it's us as a united front against everybody else. So we're going to try to make sure we're uplifting them all the time and letting them know that whatever wall is in front of you, we've got your back and we're going to help you get over.
So which player do you guys hate the most? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not a good question. Totally kidding. I think you guys have a unique perspective on this. Most Nebraska fans have never seen anything but a really strong running game be the key to success at Nebraska. And a lot of it's because, you know, the weather, whatever, right? But you played in Denver. Strong running game, of course, but you also had a dude that could throw it a little bit. You playing in the CFL, cold up there, right? Able to throw it a little bit. Can Nebraska win throwing the ball like it appears Nebraska's about to do?
Oh.
There's a mic short, Tony.
You know what? I believe in what they're teaching our players. I believe that we have the guys that can get it done. It's just how much are you, you know, what kind of repetitions are you getting during the week to make sure that you're comfortable doing that during the game? I mean, that's the big thing. Now, do I prefer just passing to win the game? No, I don't. And you know why? Because we played against a bunch of passing teams, and they were always telling us we couldn't perform, and we had to pretty much kick their you-know-what, you know, in order to win. And I always feel like if you've got that ground and pound, you can control the game, you can control the clock, and you can wear people down. I think it's a little bit tougher to win, in my opinion, but I mean, I don't put it past our coaching staff to make that happen.
You know, see, I want to disagree with him just a little bit because I'm a quarterback.
He wants to.
You know, and we did some great things. First of all, in order to win championships, you need a great defense, and you have to be able to run the football.
Time tested.
No question about that. Yep. I don't care if you're playing back in the 1960s or 50s or whatever. You have to be able to run the football. In order for Nebraska to be successful, they have to be able to run the football. Now, we're in a different age. You have to be able to – I love throwing the football. That's what we did in Canada. And if you want to get to the next level, that's what you have to be able to do. And we've had way too many great quarterbacks come through here that have not had the opportunity besides, you know, before the Ferragamos, the Taggies, those type of guys, because we ran the football. We're primarily running backs at the quarterback position. But to get to the next level and to be competitive on a national scale in collegiate sports, you have to throw the football. If you're going to attract those type of quarterbacks, those type of players. So we're getting there. So I was really excited when we had the Callahan era come because you're going to be able to compete and recruit those quarterbacks and get better and have those guys go on to the pros. Because if I'm a guy come out of high school playing quarterback, if I don't think I have the ability to go to the NFL, I'm going to a running school. I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to see that progression, and I think we're there. And I can't wait. How excited will Nebraska be when we have a quarterback drafted in the first round in the NFL?
That'd be
how
good.
Cool would that be?
It would be.
How cool would that be?
I have dreamed it.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, though.
But think about this, though. You mean, we talk about we're just doing passive stuff, but if you got a guy that's just passing and he doesn't run, I'm sorry, that's not exciting football. Take Louisville quarterback.
Yeah.
Who's the Heisman frontrunner right now?
Yeah.
And why is he the Heisman frontrunner right now? Because not only can he throw, but he makes exciting plays by the run.
Decide with the defense. How did Louisville's quarterback do last night? He got sacked 11 times.
No. But here's my point, though. You have to have a guy that can move around.
He's got to be mobile.
I don't want a guy that's – now, Peyton Manning is an exception.
Hang on to that thought.
Okay.
10 seconds.
What happened to Peyton, though?
Yeah.
1997. I'm just
Well,
wind
down at Longwell's. Hail Varsity continues.
Home Football Fridays, The Rail Yard, with Hail Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here in Longwells. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, thanks so much to Mike Babcock. Tony Veland still here, Steve Taylor here, and Mr. Rick Heyman from Sauter Heyman, the ORS Grand Prize giveaway a few minutes away. Back to the football discussion. Can you win throwing the football? Thanks for throwing that grenade, Kranak. A quarterback says, absolutely. A safety says, you got to run the football. A final thought on that topic before we talk to Rick here. Your guys' take on Terrell Newby's senior year. We'll start with you.
I'll tell you, he's been such a huge surprise to me, to be honest with you.
Because it's been great.
In the past, I'm just being honest, I thought – he didn't exhibit enough toughness.
Yep.
I didn't. And then all of a sudden, I say past the third game, I mean, he's been really our guy in the fourth quarter. He's probably the one player that's probably gotten stronger and stronger through each one of these games. So I'm so glad he's finally realizing his potential and basically putting the team on his shoulders in that quarter. He's done great.
I mean, Veland hit it right on the nose. I think it's kind of sad that this is his last year and we're just now seeing it, but he's really showed some toughness. He's getting north. He's running football. He's making a move and getting uphill, and he's running hard. He reminds me of the Nebraska old quarterbacks that were physical, that got up, that took on tacklers and broke tackles. And he's done a great job this year. So I will have to give him some kudos because I thought he was underachieving to this point, but now he's really taken a step and elevated his play, and it's unfortunate he's going to be gone this year.
About 45 seconds each, a lasting thought. Will Tommy's legend grow as the years go by? Will Tommy Armstrong be looked back upon as one of those guys that, man, we didn't appreciate at the time, but wow, he was pretty special?
I think they will. I mean, even myself, I was a little surprised in looking at the statistics last week when I realized that he's the number one guy. I mean, that is just crazy. It's just unfortunate that the number of victories that we've had over his time span doesn't line up necessarily with the stats that he has. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, so he won't be remembered, you know, quite as fondly as a Tommy Frazier or a Steve Taylor or something like that. But I think there's something to be said for him going through, you know, the turmoil that he went through and still being able to come out on top.
I think it's exactly right. And that's why, although I'm not a huge statistic guy because there's more to it than just the statistics. And for what he's done for this program the last 3 or 4 years, it's really been quite commendable. And he's been a warrior. So, you should not be measured just on the national championships or the championships that you won because, every situation is different.
Steve Taylor, Tony Veland, you're awesome. Thanks for coming by. You can measure somebody by what type of watch they wear. maybe you can. Rick Heyman, Sauter Heyman, the ORS Grand Prize giveaway coming up. Rick, it's awesome to see you. Thanks for coming down. Quarterback question to you.
Quarterback question to me.
Yeah, you happy how it's gone for him?
Absolutely. I think Tommy is absolutely fantastic. And I think we're really, really lucky that we've got him.
Absolutely. Now, tell me how lucky his and her will be soon with his Oris watch.
We have two
giveaway.
Thank you, Chris. We have two beautiful Oris watches here tonight. We have a men's Aquas Diver blue dial, just like yours.
Yeah.
Only it's blue.
Yeah.
And we have a ladies matching in blue as well. They are beautiful watches. They're worth about $3,800, and we're going to give them away here in about a minute.
That'll be awesome. Rick Heyman, Sauter Heyman.
Thank
you so
much.
Steve Taylor's awesome. Thanks to Tony Veland. Thanks to Mark Kranak. Thanks to Mike Babcock. Thanks to you for coming down. Still time for you here at Longwells with Hale Varsity. Take care.